All right. Hi, welcome to the fourth episode of our summer series on fan fiction for Not a Novel podcast. David and Hannah are continuing their summer vacation, but we'll be back in the fall. So this is Grant. I'm going to be talking with Judah today. Say hi, Judah.
Hi.
Thanks. So continuing on our earlier discussion on fan fiction, today we're going to specifically be talking about what's called alternative universe fan fiction. And so this is when, you know, you take a character from, let's say, I mean, it's really cheap shot, but, you know, you take a Marvel character and you put them in the DC universe. Or you take, you know, someone from Percy Jackson and put them in the Harry Potter universe. So I think, you know, we're going to talk about what that means for fan fiction, what that means for adaptation and so forth. Did I get that right, Judah? Is that a good explanation of what AU is?
Yes, for the most part.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that definition?
Not anything major. Just, I guess, taking like aspects of the original work and, I guess, applying a different setting or a different world or a different context in which the characters would operate in.
Got it. So the key here is consistency of character, right? But everything else can change besides character.
Well, essentially, a lot of time, well, most of the times the characters do remain the same, but because there are different types of AUs, like there's some like high school AUs, so the characters may be different if you are going to age them down to teenager levels. But essentially, the basis of who the characters are would stay the same.
Okay, makes sense. So what do you think, you know, I understand it from a sense of, you know, let's take out the mashups between two different universes, but let's think of your example of like, you know, bringing people into high school, right? If they're grown adults, you're imagining what they were like in high school. Mm-hmm. And what I find is interesting is like long-running sitcoms often do this as an singular episode. They go back to explain some sort of behavior in the present that the seeds of which were in the past, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I often think of, you know, even you know, there's like baby versions of, you know, like Looney Tunes or Scooby-Doo. There's like some other things of like where they, you know, for a couple episodes or maybe a small season, they'll do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So do you think the motivating factor is just to kind of attempt to explain certain character traits that we see in either the canonical text or in the present, or do you think there's some other reason why you would kind of, you know, imagine your character as a teenager or as a child?
Well, that is definitely a major one, just because it's a lot, like, very interesting to, I guess, think about what your character would be like when they're at, you know, such an impactful and such an eventful moment of their life. And seeing, I guess, the different things and the different aspects that you could think of that could possibly shape them into becoming the person that you see in the media that you have seen them in. But I also think that with a lot of specifically a high school alternate universe fan fiction, there's this appeal to create this high school narrative with the characters that you know. And so not necessarily not necessarily trying to see how they would like why they are the way they are, but taking mm-hmm. the character that you know and seeing what they would be like in a setting in high school. I think that's another mm-hmm. like one of the biggest motivators for, I guess, partaking in cultivating high school alternate universe fan fiction.
I mean, do you think that, you know, because I could see myself being motivated to write something like that, that, you know, here's a character that I look up to as an adult. You know, I kind of want to emulate that person and I want to be them, but they're an adult and I'm a teenager. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I wonder if, all, you know, this specific type of alternate universe is a way for you to kind of work through, well, if this, you know, if this person was in my shoes in high school, like, how would they act, you know, as a, as kind of a mode of thinking, like, well, you know, if I look up to this character, you know, maybe I can understand how to act better, or I can understand, you know, how to be better based on what I think this character would do. I mean, do you think that that's kind of a motivation?
I do think that's definitely, that could be a major part of it. Just because the attachment to that character, to specific characters, could, like, does derive oftentimes from an admiration or a desire to, I guess, live up to the certain standards that you see this character living up to. And so I guess putting that in, especially for fanfiction writers who are in high school, putting that in a setting where you could, where it's more relatable and it's more like you can, there's a concrete way that you can see how their actions and how this behavior that you admire, what it would actually look like in, I guess, your day-to-day life in high school. And so I think there is definitely an appeal to trying to have the behavior that you want to strive to, the behavior you want to aspire to, being played out in a setting that you can easily understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point. I mean, do you think a lot of this fiction, you know, even though it exists on a lot of these websites like Wattpad and fanfic.net, do you think it's really written for other people, or do you think it's kind of the fan, you know, we were talking in the past couple of episodes as, like, you know, fan fiction is this interesting way of consuming media differently, right? Mm-hmm. You become like an active participant in consuming the media by writing your own narratives. And yeah. So do you think, you know, these alternate universes, are they meant to really be, you know, seen by other people? Or do you think it's someone just trying to, you know, consume media in a new way?
I think there are many different facets to it. And a lot of times it is very fan-based, especially with things like high school alternate universe and like stuff like Soulmate Alternate Universe and Coffee Shop. They're all very focus on taking the characters from the canon story and putting them in a situation that is either cutesy or just something that fans would like to see, I guess. So there is that aspect of it. But there's also another concept of, I guess, being able to I guess, try and understand the characters more by putting them in different situations that, you know, you would be curious about, you know, exactly how that, like, what they would do in the situation, or what would it look like if they were to be the same way they are, but in a completely different setting. And I think that more so is a lot more individualized and a lot more specific to the writer, just because they're trying to strive to create, or I guess trying to understand the character that they love more, versus the other, the previous mentioned forms, where it's more trying to cater to the fans or trying to create the setting that is fluff, or more so just trying to show your love for the canon story or the original story, versus trying to actually find a deeper meaning. And then there's also the aspect of like seeing something within the original story that you didn't necessarily like, or that you wish was done differently, and taking it and completely changing it to something that, and having the story play out the way you wanted it to, or I guess have the progression go in a more, in a setting that you feel is more natural for the character, based on what you believe and what you saw.
I mean, yeah, I can see that, but I can also see where this can go wrong and has gone wrong. Yes. You know, I just think of certain fan communities like Star Wars that have this very specific vision that they want things to play out, and that's gone, you know, that's been propagated by the fanfic community, right? Yes. That there are certain things that, you know, the series needs to do. And then you have something like The Last Jedi that's trying to push the series in a new direction, but ultimately gets all this backlash because, you know, that backlash is almost caused by this mode of you taking ownership over the story. You know, you feel like the story can be changed to your liking. So I wonder if, you know, there's like a dark side to all of this is, you know, you have this ability to write your own story. And so what happens when, you know, the story starts going in a direction that you don't necessarily agree with?
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the biggest dangers, with basically all fanfiction, but it's specifically alternate universe fanfiction, because you can do so much with it, and the confines and the boundaries of what you can do in alternate universe fanfiction is very loose. I mean, because there could be a case made that 50 Shades of Grey was Twilight alternate universe fanfiction.
That's what it originally was, you know.
Exactly.
So but, you know, that, I mean, I think that's a really interesting case because you know, there's parts of it that are removed, you know, to make it, to have that distance, so it's not considered, you know, a derivative work. But yeah, I mean, as a writing practice, like, that's what I think is really interesting is, you know, you were able to get that story, and the story itself can kind of stand on its own, outside of it being in the Twilight universe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's what, would you agree that would be, you know, some of the better alternate universe fanfic is like where it doesn't necessarily need the canon, it doesn't need the source text, it's still like a good story on its own?
I think that a case could be made for that. However, there's the idea that fan fiction is like wholly based on the fact that it's derived from the source material. And mm-hmm. I think if you have, if you have a story that is that can stand on its own and that doesn't mm-hmm. need the source material to be able, like, to be what it is,
mm-hmm.
I find it interesting on whether or not you would classify that as fan fiction, and if you could mm-hmm. make a case of whether or not it's original work.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a point of, you know, we talked about, okay, alternative universe is the character needs to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, well, what happens when, you know, you bring that character into an alternate universe and you could rename that character but retain all of the characteristics, exactly. I mean, this is what's an interesting concept. It's like, well, when does it become its own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's this concept in, it's this old kind of mind game in philosophy called the Ship of Theseus. Are you familiar with this?
I'm not.
So the Ship of Theseus is like this ship that gets sailed for hundreds of years. And, you know, as it goes out and sails, it gets damaged. And they replace, you know, one plank of the ship at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the years, every single piece is replaced, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the boat repairer has kept all of the damaged pieces.
Mm.
So the question is, like, well, what is the, if I was going to say, well, which is the Ship of Theseus, is it the thing with all the new parts sailing around, or is it this pile of damaged wood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like there's a part somewhere in that transfer, right? There's like a threshold when something becomes something else, and trying to figure out what that threshold is, I think, really worthwhile,
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, there's what you could say, like, oh, okay, well, it could stand on its own as a story. But if you think about it in relation to the source text, it makes, like, both the story and the source text, like, more, you know, richer in mm-hmm. a way.
Yeah. And I also think that it's interesting because and like how it relates to the reader, because mm-hmm. you could have people looking and reading the fan fiction in the scope of its fan fiction and, you know, trying to keep it within the confines of the fact that it's fan fiction. So it'll come across mm-hmm. a certain way versus someone who's not necessarily into the whatever the source material is and just reading mm-hmm. it as a passerby and mm-hmm. I guess liking it for the story that it sees, but without necessarily coming from the viewpoint of this is in the scope of this specific medium.
Mm, mm. Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah, I mean, I think, I think kind of moving on, like the mashups in the mm-hmm. alternative universe, you know, when you're taking multiple properties and placing them together is also kind of one of these interesting things. Are you familiar with any of these that do this kind of cross medium? You know, you have like a character from a book interact with a character from a movie or a character from a comic book. Have you seen any of that?
Most of the stuff I have seen are, I guess, characters from, like, different specific stories. interacting with each other. Like, so there's a show called Once Upon a Time where it's about a bunch of fairy tale characters, coming, like, being all mixed up. And so I think that is kind of like a big, you could call that a mashup on knit fan fiction, because it's simply a bunch of different fairy tale characters that have their own separate stories, but in the show it's all connected to each other, and there's like different characters are related to different ones that are originally like not even closely related. And so I think
I mean, I think that's I think it's really cool that you bring up Once Upon a Time, because, you know, to me, Once Upon a Time is kind of loosely based on this comic book series called Fable.
Yes, I've heard of that. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, so Fable uses mostly like these, kind of like what Disney uses, is they use the old stories, right, as the source material. So then there's never a question of like what you're really remixing, right? Exactly. You're just remixing something that's in the public domain. But what I thought was interesting about Once Upon a Time was they continued to use like new Disney, you know, the, like, I think like they put Frozen, you know, the girls from Frozen in it. And so I thought that was kind of, that's kind of interesting. You know, I mean, of course the, you know, Disney owns, was that on ABC, right? So like, that's not a question of, you know, no one's making any kind of violations there. But yeah, I think that's really interesting that, you know, yes, you, you don't have to know all of their backstories, right? But knowing their backstories makes that series better, you know? I think, what is it, Captain Hook in that? I think Captain Hook is actually a really interesting character because he's a little more three-dimensional in that series than he is in the source material.
And I think it's also interesting how, like, specifically in that series, they specifically sought to take, like, the archetypes and, I guess, expand on them and go and really flesh them out as characters and give the motivation of why this, like, why this character reacted in this way in this specific fairy tale. Especially like with the concept of like the Evil Queen, and having a actual reason why she would hate Snow White. When you read in the original fairy tale, it doesn't necessarily give an explanation, or it just has a very straightforward blanket statement that's not necessarily too in depth or delved into.
I mean, I think, that's really interesting because it's fitting an old story into our kind of new moral compass, right? Like, I think the older story, it's easier to digest that there's like evil, there's bad people and good people. But, you know, most postmodern art is kind of, you know, especially with the rise of the anti-hero. That distinction's never really clear. So I think that's really cool. It's doing something, you know, it's interesting because it has fidelity to some aspects, but then it knows when to stretch. And I think that's like the hallmark of a good adaptation is it, you know, it's doing something new, but also, you know, making sure that it's beholden to the source material. You know, the other thing I was thinking about is there's a video game series also Disney related called Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, I've heard of that.
So Kingdom Hearts is a mashup. It's a mashup between Final Fantasy and other Square Enix games and Disney characters, and then interjects new characters. And it's so interesting what it does, because the sad part about it is it uses a lot of the Disney characters just as like a nostalgic aspect, you know, because I think, I mean, you know, one's to say like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy don't really have that much character depth anyway. You know what I mean? So when you deploy them in a story, you can't really give them depth because they've never had depth.
Yeah.
And so like, it doesn't work, but it works powerfully because it works off nostalgia. You know, I think that's the same way like Once Upon a Time works really well, is there is a certain nostalgia that we have for those stories and those characters. And I just wonder if it's like a good, if it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, to continue to think about the same kind of characters, or let's try to imagine new ones.
Yeah, I think that's,
I mean, you know,
I think that's very interesting, especially when you brought up the aspect of how they were trying to go a new direction with Star Wars. But like a lot of people weren't necessarily receiving that, and it was based on that nostalgia of, you know, the characters that were originally there. And then when they tried to, I guess, sort of, I don't know if you've seen the like most recent one, but when they tried to near the end sort of appeal to that nostalgia and bring something back from the past, and how a lot of other, like a lot of fans weren't necessarily receiving that, because they had already established that they were going a new direction. And so trying to retract and reclaim the nostalgia and then add that in didn't necessarily sit well with a lot of people, simply because it seemed a lot more pandering than actually committing to the story that, or the new direction that they had set themselves on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really interesting point, especially as, like, you know, we think about, like, why people don't like fan fiction. You know, the first, The Force Awakens is, you know, I think it's well established that it's pretty much the new, it's New Hope, but, you know, with new characters. There's all the same things that seem to happen, but it's so veiled that, you know, we don't realize what's going on. And so then that becomes, you know, that movie did well. And then, you know, when Rian Johnson took over, you know, you just can't keep on redoing the same story. So he was forced to do something new. And I just, I don't understand why no one finds it interesting that, like, you know, the big battle at the end, Kylo Ren is essentially like fighting the image of Luke. He's not fighting Luke. And it's like so meta for the movie. It's like you're always fighting against the series, you know. The prequels fought against the series. These new ones are, and you know, it's interesting because like it just says, you know, well, you can't win that fight. And yeah, I think you're right. So like when you know, they come back and they try to redo everything in that third movie, it feels so over the top. It feels so heavy-handed that we see the motivation and we don't like it. You know, it's the same thing of like fan fiction. We know you love this series and that love comes through, and, you know, or you want to imagine this character in your shoes. It is, it's very thinly veiled. And so it's interesting that like there's these things that we don't like because they're so heavy handed. You know, we know why they're being done. We know what they're being done for. We like to be deceived in some ways, right?
Yeah. And I think, And I also think like, especially with the new Disney live action remakes that are coming out, where it's weird because they follow the originals close enough to the point where you could say it's practically the same thing, but they change just enough for it to not necessarily be the same thing. And so it's a very weird, and it's a very weird, I guess, place in which people go, where it's sort of, well, either you liked the original and you like it as a live action, or you just didn't like the fact that they did it. And I think that's where a lot of the contention and the disagreement with having them do that comes in, versus the actual story in and of itself.
I think the best example I have of that kind of weirdness is in Aladdin. So they give, you know, the only new song is Jasmine's song, and it's about how she's not going to be silenced, right? But the plot needs to go forward in the exact same direction. So even though she sings about how she doesn't get silenced, she immediately gets silenced right after that scene. And it's like, I know what you're doing, Disney. You're trying to say, like, you know, yes, maybe the story wasn't very, it wasn't the picture of female empowerment, but, you know, we have this new ballad in there, so you know, instead of like looking at the story, maybe being like, well, maybe the story needs to be updated a little, it's a little old fashioned. No, they won't do that, you know, but they'll put in things to pander. And that's where it's like, you know, no one likes these. Is it needs to do something different. You know, it just, it, and I think that's like the same thing about why some people don't like fan fiction, is it's more of the same, which is honestly impressive if you would like read something and make it, and it feels like just a continuation of the same story. That should be impressive, but it's not, because we don't, you know, once we've consumed something, okay, like, well, show me something different now. Very cool. All right. Well, Judah, it's been an amazing conversation. So thank you for bringing your thoughts. Do you have any final thoughts you want to give on alternative universe?
Not anything new or profound. Just the fact that it's just such an open, I think it's like one of the most open aspects of fan fiction, or the most open categories of fan fiction, just because there is so much you could do with it, and there is so much you can add and you can put in. And I mean, you could keep it as close to the original as you possibly could, or make it so far that it's almost unrecognizable. But I just found like alternate universe fan fiction just so interesting, because it's so one of like the, from what I see, it's like one of the most widespread and most like diverse category of different like stories or rules of what you can do concerning that fan fiction. So
I would agree. It's definitely the most interesting. And I think, you're right. It has the most potential to be so different, yet so similar to the source text. And what's interesting is, you know, the problem is not that that's not the main mode of fan fiction. You know, the main mode of fan fiction is romance. And it's unfortunate, because I think we would get a lot of really good, you know, adaptations or stories if we all kind of wrote more alternative universe text. So, I think that's a great point to end on. So thank you, Judah, for joining us.
Thank you.
And no problem. And we will... we'll be back next episode tomorrow.